scripture reading tonight will be coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love.
Good evening. I don't know if I see any guests, but if you are visiting with us, we'd like to let you know that you're our honored guest, and we invite you back at any time that you may have the opportunity. As always, it is certainly good to see every one of you out tonight. I always consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to present a lesson from God's Word, and I hope and pray that all of us are able to use this lesson to help encourage us, each of us, throughout our daily lives. To be honest with you, it took me quite a while this time to figure out exactly what I wanted to talk about tonight. I usually try to think about things that are happening in my own life at that particular time or things that I've experienced in my past to help me guide my mind in the direction of a lesson. And so this summer, all throughout this summer, I have constantly been thinking about how blessed I am to be home. It's certainly good to be home. The past few summers, as most of you know, but some of you may not, I've spent the past couple of summers living in Martin, doing a couple of different internships with that congregation there, one with their college age group and one with their youth group. And don't get me wrong, I love doing those internships. I love the people I got to meet and work with, and they helped me realize that I want to go into some kind of youth ministry, but I've certainly enjoyed being home for the summer. And you know, to be honest, when I, earlier on in my college career, I've been going to college long enough, I'm starting to call it a career, so yeah. Earlier on in my college career, I would actually get a little discouraged. Not a lot, but a little discouraged when I come home. The reason is because the Martin congregation is about 400 people strong, and I would go there Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. I got used to having that many people around me, and it was a good change of pace for me. And then I would come home to you loving people, of course, and there would be about 80 or 90 of us gathered on a Sunday morning. I would catch myself thinking things like, why can't we be as big as Martin? Or why can't we be as big as McKenzie? Well, obviously there's a lot of factors that play into that. Bigger cities, things of that nature. But not too long ago, I heard a preacher give a lesson on the advantages and disadvantages of a large church, of a large congregation. And as he was going through this lesson, I was thinking about those disadvantages that he was talking about. And that got me thinking about some of the advantages that we might have as a smaller congregation. And throughout this summer, I have kept focus on those advantages, and they have helped me realize how blessed I am to be a part of the Tresvant congregation. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about the advantages that we have as a smaller congregation. For the next few moments, I want to give you three advantages out of the several that we have. Now, these advantages are not to pit a smaller congregation against a larger congregation or anything like that. It's not an advantage that we have over one another, but it's different ways that we have a different advantage to help each other, to serve one another, to serve God, and to glorify Him. So the first advantage I want to talk about tonight is that we have the ability to feel like a close-knitted family. Since my time of living in Martin and working with that congregation, I have gotten to know what it seems like to be a million people. I've gotten to know people who have gotten involved with helping the student center, the college age group there, or families that have kids in the youth group. I got to know them. I got to know certain individuals, men that led the worship, that taught classes, women that taught classes, cooked and cleaned for us. I've gotten to know a lot of people. But there are still entire families and other individuals that go there that I have never met during my time at UT Martin. There are very few people in that I know there that I know well outside a worship type setting, and I believe it is partly because it is much easier to get to know people within a smaller setting, and that is why it is much easier to be encouraged by each other and to be able to love each other as a close-knitted family. It's like how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 1, verse 12, when he's writing to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 12, it reads, "For just as the body is one and has many members," that is 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. I've got it right here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "That is, that we may both be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both mine and yours." We have to be encouragers of each other in order to be edified by one another. And we have to encourage each other just like Paul was encouraged by the Roman church, and just like Roman church was encouraged by Paul. Once we have accomplished this goal, we grow closer together as a family of God. The second advantage I want to point out tonight of being a part of a smaller congregation is that it gives us a sense of being needed. If you will, turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 22. It reads like this: "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but yet there is one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are also indispensable." I think it is clear in this chapter, when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, that he's trying to appeal to them that there should still be unity in diversity. I think it's significant to note that the city of Corinth in the first century was a central point of a lot of trade routes, and because of this, the city itself brought in a lot of traders, a lot of people that came in and brought their cultures with them, their backgrounds with them. They came in and did different works, and that was why the city of Corinth was so diverse. And it happened the same way in the church of Corinth. We see all throughout 1 Corinthians about Paul talking about unity to the church of Corinth. And I think the same can still be applied to us today. Each one of us has a significant role to fulfill within the church. We have each been given abilities to fulfill these roles, and I see that it is certainly easier to do this in a smaller congregation. Now, I know I keep mentioning Martin, the church at Martin, and this is not to put them down in any way, because I certainly love that congregation there. But I see people, and I think this is prominent in a lot of congregations. I see people doing the same type of services year in and year out, the same men leading worship, the same men and ladies teaching the same classes, the same people cleaning and cooking. And it may seem like that this is the same situation that we have here, but the reason you see the same people serving in the same way they do here is because those people, those of you who that serve in all the ways that you do, you are indispensable, as it says in 1 Corinthians. You are what we have. It is much more apparent when one part of the church in a smaller setting is missing or not functioning right, because there is no one to replace that role. And so everyone is needed to fulfill their roles in a smaller congregation. Paul again reiterates this thought of growing together in unity in Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16, which is what Jack read for us just a few moments ago. I'm going to read it again. Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this verse, Ephesians 4, verse 16, this verse is actually the verse that the college-age group, the Student Center, that we use for our theme. We have a theme, and our theme is titled, Everybody is Somebody in the Lord's Body. I like this theme because it reinforces the idea that there is one body, and when one part does not work in that body, the whole body does not work at all. There is a sense of being needed and a sense of being wanted within a smaller setting. The final advantage I want to mention tonight is that being a part of a smaller congregation gives us an abundance of opportunities. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith." Being in a smaller congregation gives us opportunities to be able to do good services in our communities and to our own brethren in Christ. But I think this is an advantage and an opportunity that not only we see in smaller congregations, but in any congregation that has devoted itself to spiritual growth, that has devoted itself to growing in spirit and in truth. God gives us opportunities on a daily basis to do good in His name and to glorify Him. We as Christians, as followers of Christ, only need to reach out and grab them. Like I said earlier, I used to get somewhat, not a lot, but somewhat discouraged at our numbers here at Tresvant. But it's like what one of our older men said earlier this summer. I think a few of them actually said it, something along these lines. We need to be positive about those of us that are here, not discouraged by those who are not. I have come to realize that there are several advantages that come from being a part of a smaller congregation. It's so easy to let ourselves get discouraged over things like we've mentioned here tonight or things of personal matters that maybe sometimes in the grand scheme of things are not very important. And maybe, like I was, maybe you are constantly finding yourself discouraged about these things or about things that are in your own life. Maybe tonight, I hope tonight, that this will help you see the positive in what we have here at Tresvant and see the positive in what you have in your own lives. And maybe tonight, you have yet to be baptized into Christ for whatever reason. You have put it off, but you realize now that you need to be baptized. First and foremost, you need to be baptized to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ and to be added to the body of Christ, so that when you are added to that body of Christ, you can find your talents within Him, within that body, and to fulfill your role as a follower, as a disciple of Christ. Or maybe tonight you need to be encouraged. Maybe tonight you find yourself being discouraged on a constant basis, on a daily basis. Maybe tonight you need support and encouragement and prayers from the church. Well, I tell you, there is no better group of encouragers than those that are of God's family, those that you are surrounded by tonight. If you need to be baptized or you need the help of the church in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?